The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Mike Golic Jr.
Now it seems like everyone's got their oars and is rowing in the same direction in Green Bay, and that's a dangerous thing.
Breaking down everything happening on the gridiron.
Using a tenth of the creativity the colleges do, I think makes a more exciting brand of football.
And other important topics.
You are afforded a great deal more of whatever Reese's version of peanut butter is inside that thing when you rock with the holiday shapes, and then you just get that little coating of chocolate that kind of sends you down the path of Flavor Town.
It's Gojo on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
One of the busiest guys in all of sports media, Mike Golic Jr., joining us this morning as he does after every, Packers game? After every college football weekend? It's just good to have Mike Golic Jr. on with us. Gojo, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Jen, I'm trying to keep up with you at this point.
I'm in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Have you ever been to Fayetteville, Arkansas, Gojo?
I have not been to Fayetteville, but it's a place that now houses Sam Pittman, so I know if it can feed him, it can feed me.
Yes, that's exactly why I'm here, doing a little game day feature on Sam Pittman in advance of this weekend's matchups. We are talking about the Green Bay Packers this morning, who obviously got their first victory of the season 35-17 last night over the Lions. Aaron Rodgers was spectacular. Now, the Packers did not look good in the first half, but they got it rolling in the second half, and this was the bounce-back game that a lot of us anticipated from Aaron Rodgers. Matt LaFleur has still not lost two games in a row, unless you're Gabe and you count the end of last year and the beginning of this year as two games in a row. Gabe did that yesterday. I think he was just joking around with us, though.
Plus, there were three preseason games. It was a five-game losing streak, Jack.
But after the game, Gojo, Rodgers, you know, kind of took some shots at people who were critical of the Packers after week one. And we were just discussing, like, this just doesn't – he doesn't need to do this. Why does our guy Aaron Rodgers continue to poke the bear in this way?
I don't know what happened to Aaron in the last couple of years here, but I don't like this version of the guy. Like, I'm all here for athletes being petty and using opportunities to remind us how great they are. Like, Aaron Rodgers, performance-wise last night, was spectacular. There were a few of those throws that basically him, Patrick Mahomes, maybe one other human on planet Earth are capable of last night, but now it just seems like it went from, all right, you know, we had that press conference before the year started where he answered all the questions, and we said, oh, wow, you know, the faucet's finally turned on here. We're flushing everything out here. It seems to be stuck open at this point. And at some point, like, yeah, we understand most athletes that say, you know, I don't listen to the media or I don't hear what everyone's talking about are lying. But, man, I didn't realize there was this much truth to it. Like, dude, you're fine. You're Aaron Rodgers. You don't need to answer everyone like this.
Mike, what's your takeaway with Packers defensive coordinator Joe Barry? I mean, LaFleur went, and I'll call it a call out, went so far as to call him out at halftime. He said, bro, whatever you're doing is not working. You got to change.
You think he went up to him and called him bro? That'd be sick.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
Matt LaFleur seems like the kind of guy that would call somebody bro, by the way.
But, I mean, you think this is ultimately going to be their downfall unless something drastically changes? Because if you watch that first half, it's the Detroit Lions and Jared Goff essentially carving them up with no change at all. I mean, what are they doing?
Yeah, I would say this. The Packers defense is still a work in progress. Like, this is very much what we saw at the end of last season and what we talked about in the postseason last year. I mean, seeing, you know, them go right at Kevin King again was kind of a reminder of where the flaws still exist. I'd say this, though, on the other side, I'm going to do a weird thing and give the Lions a little bit of credit here. Like, we saw what Jared Goff was in Los Angeles when he's kept clean. He's a pretty damn good quarterback. And they figured out, like, this feels bad to say, but unfortunately it's true. Eric Decker not being available is going to end up being one of the better things for this Detroit Lions franchise in the long term, because Penei Sewell switching over to the left side is the right thing. It's the best thing that happened. And I just think that offense, they've got more weapons than we probably give them credit for. That Lions team's going to fight hard all year, all those things. So I wasn't surprised by that first half. The Packers defense is still an issue, but I think it's one that as time goes on here, they're going to have chances to correct here. So I wouldn't sound the alarms too much just yet.
All right. I have to go. I saw you tweet this yesterday, right before I went on air for the Packers radio network. And Adam Schefter tweets out about how Carson Wentz sprained both ankles. Is that an actual video of you falling off a Stairmaster? Is that what that video was? Like, I'm trying to, like, I'm like, that looks like Gojo, but, like, that can't be real.
Yeah.
What the heck is this video? How did you get your hands on it? What the heck happened?
All right, I want to take you guys back. I believe this was 2018. I was on a vacation with my family. We ended up going to Africa. So we were in Tanzania at that point, and we were at a hotel out there. And I decided, like an idiot, to work out on vacation, which, boy, oh, boy, always a mistake. Like, let this be the number one lesson to everyone listening right now. Don't work out on vacation. You're not there to get in shape. You're there to destroy yourself after getting in shape for that vacation. But so I went down there, and I decided to get on the elliptical, do something low impact. I'll sweat a little bit, and then I'll go back and start drinking a little more. And I decided to step back off there a little haphazardly. I didn't realize that the elliptical had a lip there. And so I turned my ankle, hit my back, and that's where the functional movement screening started. You saw me kind of move the ankles around here, make sure nothing was broken, nothing was too banged up. I looked back over my head to make sure no one saw that. But then I realized, all right, my family, ever the group of jackals and aware that everything is content because of years of my dad's radio show, we're sitting around by the pool and we go, wait a minute, there's got to be security camera footage of this because my family all wanted to see this moment of my pain and grief. And so we had to spend 20 minutes talking to the hotel manager, convincing him and assuring him that we were not going to be litigious and we were not going to sue them for anything. We merely wanted to laugh at my pain. And I don't think he could comprehend what a group of sickos we were, but inevitably he ended up giving us up the video. And yeah, so that is me falling off an elliptical in Africa and almost rolling my ankle and ruining the rest of the trip.
So offensive line was the correct position for you.
Oh, yeah, no. See, like, people always say, well, your dad played D-line. I'm like, listen, yeah. If you watch me move for longer than 2 minutes, you're going to understand.
Mike Golic Jr. joining Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as he does each and every week during the football season. And you can come for gold like that, him falling off of an elliptical. And you can come for the best Notre Dame insight as the Badgers take on the Fighting Irish this weekend at Soldier Field. Give the people who are probably Badgers fans here in the Milwaukee area what they can expect from this Notre Dame team, because we were shocked this morning to learn that the line was in favor of the Badgers. What did you guys say? It was 5.5 this morning?
Correct.
5.5 Wisconsin? So why is Notre Dame not getting some love here, Gojo?
I actually think right now that line's where it needs to be here. Notre Dame has not played up to par so far this season. The defense made a switch in coordinator. If anyone was unaware, Marcus Freeman comes over from Cincinnati, where he had had years of success there with Luke Fickell. And a few changes to that system. The guys are still, I think, learning 100% how to operate there. It's a defense that requires you to cut it loose a little bit more than all the thinking they did last year under Clark Lee. But they still have a guy in the back end named Kyle Hamilton who might be the best safety in college football. So I'd watch out for him for the Wisconsin offensive side. But a little lighter up front, going to be an interesting matchup against the usual beefy brand of Wisconsin offensive line play. The real issue, though, I think has been on the other side. Notre Dame's offensive line's been banged up. They started their third different offensive tackle at left tackle because of injury. Blake Fisher, the all-world true freshman who started the season, banged up in their game against Florida State. His backup, Michael Carmody, banged up in their second game against Toledo. So they've had to shuffle bodies around in that offensive line that replaced four NFL starters from last year. And so the group blocking for Jack Cohn, who Wisconsin knows very well, has kind of had to figure out its identity on the fly. And I think this Notre Dame offense is really still in that mode. You'll see two quarterbacks, Tyler Buchner, the freshman from California, who's more of the dual threat guy, who they'll try and use in the running game along with Tyron Williams. It's just been a process of a Notre Dame team who lost a ton of talent in a year where everyone was bringing a lot of starts back. They didn't, and that has showed up through the course of 3 weeks. They've managed to become 3-0, but Jim Leonard and this defense for Wisconsin pose a very different threat, and I think that's a lion's share of why the line is where it's at right now.
Mike, is the Big Ten better than we thought with Iowa, Penn State, Ohio State still at 10. I mean, there's a lot of teams in the top 25. Are they better than we thought?
I think they are. I mean, I think this is also a year across the board in college football where, you know, I know Florida didn't beat Alabama, but to quote, you know, 300, they made the God King bleed. Like, we've done that at the top of college football. Clemson's looked vulnerable. That offense been able to get nothing going between Georgia or Georgia Tech early in this season. Ohio State gets a loss early in the year. And so I think all of that across the board, coupled with Iowa gets a big-time win early in the season out of conference against Iowa State. Penn State does follows up with the same. I think the real interesting one is going to be Michigan, though. They're still ranked really low for a team that's put up the kind of offensive production they have through 3 weeks of the season. And this feels like the year where, man, if you're in Ann Arbor, you got to be thinking this is your shot to beat Ohio State with as you know hapless as that defense has looked for the Buckeyes so far here. So, yeah, I think there is the Big Ten looks better across the board, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Ohio State, and then you can do this in the other conferences, a lot of the top teams we've been used to have looked more vulnerable than they have in probably 5 or 6 years.
One of the big conversations, Gojo, this offseason is, of course, the college football playoff expansion. And critics of it say, where can you find 8 good teams? Where can you find 12 good teams? I think this year, I mean, like it's Alabama, Georgia, and then, you know, I just don't, you know, again, and like you said, a lot of these teams are kind of like hung with teams we didn't think they'd hang with. Teams are like making statements. I don't really know after that where to kind of put my money. I don't know if I could find 8 teams that are deserving of being in the college football playoff this year. And I know it's early in the season and things will sort of work themselves out. But am I just kind of being a skeptic?
No, listen, Jen, I think you're right every year. Like we know in college football, too. At the end of the day, what we're going to find is come November, a lot of these teams are going to figure it out. Talent generally always wills out, and that's always my concern looking down some of these lists right now, is when you get to that point in time. You know, I had this discussion with a lot of people who were in my mentions about Iowa yesterday. Iowa's sitting at number 5 in the AP poll right now, and people are wondering why they're not above Oklahoma. And I look and I say, I understand Iowa's got a better win. But I worry about some of these teams who do not have the blue-chip athletes that some of these top programs do. The reason Ohio State has boat raced the best rest of the Big Ten for so long is because there's only so many seats at the table when it comes to the marquee talent here. And I'm right now believing that that's going to figure itself out by the end of the year, but it's a little more chaotic than usual. And, Jen, you are absolutely right to doubt. I think that's been college football's issue for a while, but I don't think that's the argument against expansion. Expansion is about expanding the conversation, not the pool of teams that have a realistic chance of listing the trophy.
Gojo, today's Bill Murray's birthday. He's 71 years old. Are you a Bill Murray guy? And what's your favorite Bill Murray movie?
You know, it's kind of weird. I wouldn't consider myself a Bill Murray guy in the fact that, like, I'm going to seek him out necessarily. Like, I appreciate Bill Murray's work. I appreciate The Usual. You know, I mean, everyone loves Caddyshack. Obviously, all these things come up. But I'd say if I had to pick one, the one that I like have gone back to and enjoyed the most, probably Groundhog's Day. For some reason, that movie was always like a unique fascination. I thought it was an interesting concept. And so I appreciate Bill Murray. I appreciate all the stories about Bill Murray that tend to pop up, especially around the city of Chicago. But yeah, I guess I'm a Bill Murray enough guy.
He is Mike Golic Jr. He joins us every single week during the, I don't know what to do with that. For the record, Gojo, Groundhog Day filmed in Woodstock, Illinois, where I went to high school.
Boo.
Mm, wow.
Boo.
Who is that?
Boo. Yeah, who would boo Woodstock? Come on.
Boo Woodstock.
Gojo, where are you going to be this weekend? What are your plans? I know you're traveling all over the place during college football season.
I'm headed down to Tallahassee. Louisville Cardinals take on a Florida State program that has got some soul searching to do right now.
So yeah, I assume you will not be able to attend your beloved Fighting Irish versus the Badgers on Saturday morning.
Nope, I will be stress watching in my hotel room away from anyone that I could potentially hurt because I am not a good person. I do not like the version of myself that shows up during Notre Dame games. So I'm going to stay far, far away from people.
Gojo, but we just already covered you can easily hurt yourself.
Oh, yeah, no, listen, I'm good, and that's why I have to stay in my room, bubble wrapped away, usually eating room service or, in last week's case, gas station chicken from Mississippi.
Oh, go, Joe. I don't even want to tell you the things that I have eaten on this trip. I had to do Cincinnati yesterday for a feature with Desmond Ritter. Now I'm in Fayetteville. I have been absolutely crushing that concession stand right outside of the registration at the hotel. Yeah, give me a cup of noodles. I'll take these peanut butter crackers, one Cliff Bar in case I want to pretend like I'm going to be healthy over the next 24 hours, and a chocolate milk.
The chocolate milk's the underrated glory and all that, but shout out to Cup of Noodles, which every once in a while, I know it's not good, but Lord, it feels good, and that's okay.
And I didn't have any utensils, so I ate it with two coffee stirrers, like chopsticks. It was just the most ratchet, you guys.
Wait, how are we just finding out about this now?
Unbelievable.
Well, that's what Gojo does. He brings out the crazy in all of us. Gojo, good to have you, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
See you guys.
Yeah, cup of noodles, two coffee stirrers as chopsticks for dinner last night, guys. It has been a week already. We'll continue talking about your Green Bay Packers, their big victory last night, 35-17 over the Lions, as we continue on a Victory Monday/Tuesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Golf's next big event. It's happening right here in Wisconsin. It's happening this week. 94.5 ESPN is covering all the action. It's Palermo's tee-off week as Team America taking on Team Europe at Whistling Straits, battling it out for the trophy. While you're rooting for Team USA on the links, make sure your kitchen is stocked with Palermo's pizza and make sure that you're tuned in to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy tomorrow morning to participate in the Palermo's Under Par contest for a chance to win Palermo's Pizza Prize Pack. Join us for Palermo's Tee-Off Week right here on 94.5 ESPN.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
In this instance,
you took my damn spot.
So if he's there today, will there be a throwdown confrontation?
Oh, you know me. No, there's not going to happen. Nothing's going to happen.
Do you want me to come home with you so there can be a throwdown confrontation?
Yeah, actually, can you? If you can fight my battles, I'd really appreciate that.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Well, hopefully it's an upward trajectory. I think there's a lot of things that we can build upon, but certainly there's a lot of things that we got to do better.
The first half was nothing to write home about if you're a Green Bay Packers fan, but the second half, the guys came to play, figured some stuff out. Matt LaFleur talking to his defensive coordinator, Joe Barry, telling them to change some things up. It would appear as though they kind of did. In any case, the Packers offense had the ball certainly a lot more in the second half of the game, and they were able to roll to that big victory that puts them at 1-1, 35-17 over the Lions. But Chewy said going into this game that didn't really matter what they did against the Lions, because the Lions aren't a formidable opponent. Bottom line, he needs to see what they do against the 49ers next week on a short week, right? Because isn't that game Sunday Night Football, guys?
Yes.
And you are not the only one that thinks that. Let's hear from Jay Williams on Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max.
I don't feel like we'll get a true gauge of who the Packers are. You talk about defensively, Max, and also Aaron Rodgers to that next degree until we see them on the road versus Kyle Shanahan, a team that actually made the call to try to see what's up with Aaron Rodgers. If there's somebody offensively that can game plan to go against Aaron Rodgers in this squad, it'll be the 49ers.
Do we know if the 49ers are good, though?
I don't know. They looked really good the first half of Detroit, yep, in Detroit. But then I watched that Philly game, and what was it, 17-11?
17-11.
Then you question yourself, well, is Philly good? Is Philly better than we thought, right? Because Philly won their first game.
Yeah,
I believe.
Did.
I just don't know right now. But, you know, looking at the team stats of last night and the number of possessions and time of possession, I mean, Detroit outgained them 344 to 323. Are we going to see, because of this defense, Packers get up into the 450 range or the 400 range? Because
it's going to be tough.
Seems like possessions are going to be extremely hard to come by.
Because I would say, I mean, the offense was efficient. You know, they four red zone trips, four touchdowns. They score five touchdowns in a total of 10 possessions. And again, two of those possessions were kneel downs at the end of halves. So really, in eight overall drives,
yeah,
they had five touchdowns. I think, you know, yeah, you take that, but it's just,
I don't know. San Fran will tell us a lot. It's not a tough place to play. It is on the road. It is on the West Coast. But from a noise standpoint, it's not very loud. And they struggle. It'll give me a better gauge, but I just can't get out of my mind that Saints game hurting them at the end of the year. I know it's a long ways to go, but are we going to be sitting here in 3 months going, if we just beat the Saints, we would have home field throughout, or we would have had home field, which...
Very much a possibility.
It's going to be different than last year because fans in the stands, I'm telling you, Jen, just from watching college football, fans make a difference. Huge difference.
Yeah, especially for a guy like Aaron Rodgers who was able to march up and down the field last year with no fans in the stands that make it difficult for him to communicate with his guys. The 49ers guys, I think, are a top team in the league, right? We talked coming into the season about the West and how tough that division was going to be. And so far, those teams, they're in the top, I would guess. I haven't seen power rankings for this week come out yet, but they, I'm guessing, are in the top 10 between the Rams, the 49ers, the Seahawks. Who am I missing there? Rams, 49ers, Seahawks.
Arizona's
Cardinals, who are 2-0 this year.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to expect from the 49ers guys, but I wouldn't be surprised if, given the way that this Packers team has kind of clunked its way through the first couple of, I'll say the first six quarters of the season, if the 49ers game is close. And I could see the 49ers beating the Packers. Now, if that happens, are we right back to where we were week one, where it's like everybody's panicking because this team, can't hang with the top teams in the league? I mean, like, we are so used to this Packers team just kind of rolling right along and just, like, gobbling up teams as they go. This Saints thing is really a thorn in our side. It really has put a wrench in our plans. Because, again, if they play a tight game against the 49ers and the 49ers come out with a victory, are we right back to the drawing board with this Packers team? I agree with you, Chu, that it's tough to take something from the Lions, who clearly, like, rolled over and died in the second half of yesterday's game. But if the 49ers beat the Packers, are we right back where we were week one? Or will progress have been made and you can say, okay, I can see things are at least trending in the right direction?
I think it just falls on the defense. I mean, because I think maybe not after San Fran, but certainly after Pittsburgh, who has another very good defense, if we just continue to see this shell and keep everything in front of you and we only care about points, not yards, then we're going to have to turn to, all right, if we're going to play a good team, it's going to be a shootout. That's the only way we're going to win. We got to win 38-35, right? Kind of like it felt years ago, right?
Oh, like
I forget how many years ago, but it was just like, we got to score 48 points to win. And it is, not that they can do it, but can you sustain that week in and week out?
You can't.
I just don't think you can.
The margin for error there is
I'm just blown away, guys, on how second game of the season in LaFleur at halftime's already going, bro, whatever you're doing ain't working. You got to change it up.
Well, and thank God he did, though.
Because
everybody was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
I think everybody's... If you are a Packers fan and you hear that clip from Matt LaFleur, here's the clip from Matt LaFleur, you've got to be relieved, right?
You know, I think we did make some necessary adjustments at halftime. One of the things that certainly I talked to Joe about was... Hey, either play coverage or we have to pressure, because when we were doing our four-man rushes and playing man coverage behind it, we weren't getting to the quarterback. So if you don't get him off the spot, Jared, I've been around Jared, and he will be efficient and he will make the throws. So We needed to affect the quarterback much more.
See, Jen, if I'm a head coach, I'm not letting that out of the bag. Certainly not this. I'm just not doing it. Right?
You're not telling people that you went over to your defensive coordinator and said, "Here's the thing."
No, absolutely not.
Why?
You have no confidence in him, right?
Well, you're saying that's how it could be interpreted.
Absolutely, that's how I would interpret it as a player. Be like the head coach who's an offensive guy going over. And I couldn't imagine Holmgren ever going up to Ray Rhodes or Fritz Schirmer and going, you might ask him, like, what, on game day, you think you would know this during the week? Because typically, head coaches or offensive coordinators go to the defensive coordinator
typical
and say,
Jen, big time getting room service.
Got your straws ready? You know what I mean? It goes over to the defensive coordinator and says, how many points do I have to score in order for us to win? I don't know if they do that anymore, but I would think against Detroit, if LaFleur did go to him, what do you think he said?
Do you think
24 and we're good, right?
Because they're boys, do you think it's different?
Yeah, you got to tread lightly.
Do you, okay, because if
that's why you'd be able to say it to him, because you're pals, because you have a history.
You've got a strong relationship, so you can go, hey, man, what the bleep? We got to figure this out.
What if he did it to Patton last year? Patton would probably say, mind your own business, punk.
Would not have gone well.
No.
I don't think it would have gone well.
No.
It reminds me of that scene from Remember the Titans, right, where the head coach and the, is it the defensive coordinator or the offensive coordinator? He's like, you just worry about your offense or you just worry about your defense, coach, right? That's what it reminds me of between if it had been Patton and LaFleur having that conversation last year. But I think you're right, Gabe, because they're pals, because they have a history, he can definitely go up to him and say, hey, man, we're getting worked out there. You got to make some adjustments. I'm thinking this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But to Chewy's point, do you say it in the post-game press conference, or do you let the guy have his shine? Do you let the audience think, the viewers think, the listeners think that was all Joe Barry, especially a guy who's come under such criticism for his resume and for his past history? I'm kind of with Chew. Like, from a strategy standpoint, I think maybe it would have been better if everybody thought Joe Barry went into the locker room, made some adjustments, and the defense responded.
But the defense also didn't really respond. Like, there's a lot of false hope in that second half yesterday. I mean, the Lions moved it immediately in their first possession. I don't know why they didn't run the ball, because at that point in the game, they were just easily getting... They could have easily gotten 2 to 3 yards. They needed one.
Maybe they were full of kneecaps.
I mean, you eat a lot of kneecaps.
I don't know. I was in bed at 8:23. So I'm going off of what you say, Gabe.
Did you? Okay, so when you do that, you just watch the highlights on SportsCenter when you wake up?
Yeah, I get up at, 10 to 5 and just watch all of that. But I had already seen enough.
Yeah.
I had seen enough in the first half to say, this doesn't matter. They're going to win. Who cares? I mean,
yeah, I care.
Did anyone watch the first half? Anyone? I mean, you can feel good that it's a win. And I know it's early in the season, but holy smokes.
Wait, so you don't feel good either, huh? So
no.
Gabe doesn't feel great, and you don't feel great, even though they won 35-17.
I just think we're heading down the path of 38-35, 41-34. I don't think there's going to be a lot of 31-10s.
Do you have faith in this offense to stay patient? Because that's what it's going to take.
I have no problem with the offense, Gabe. I have no problem with the offense.
But here's where my concern of the defense leaking over into the offense is for 2 weeks in a row, they've essentially had three possessions in the first half, and that's it. So if their defense, they were able to get the scores and keep pace and then get the ball back and take the lead in the second half yesterday. But the first half was eerily similar from week one.
Yeah.
When you're giving up the points, the offense was able to stay patient. They stuck with the running game. But given how many times Matt LaFleur in his 2-year career has gone to the podium and said, yeah, we gave up on the run too soon. Like, it makes me a little bit nervous about the defense affecting the offense, because the offense just won't be able to stay patient.
I just wanted to bring it up to Jason when we started talking about, two high safeties, where your tight end is clearly your best receiver for Detroit. You know, if someone came up to me, and I'm not the receiver Hockenson was, I was a different kind of player, but if they came to me,
Joey,
what defense do you hate the most? I'd say bump me at the line and play man behind it. You know?
Yeah.
Because you don't get a break. You got to get off the line, and all of a sudden there's a guy there. You know? No, play two shell. Good luck.
Well, I do wonder how much Rodgers is going to be on the field this year. And it came to me last night as I saw that Rodgers was now 10th on the all-time passing leaders list. That's all-time, guys, right? Breeze is the top guy right now. Brady will ultimately probably catch him by the end of this season. But I wonder In a normal year, I think Rodgers having a 5,000-yard season, especially with the 17 games, that would happen. But I wonder with this defense, guys, if that is a possibility. Let's get into that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Two free Packers tickets. That's right. Two free Packers tickets with our friends at Window Select. All you have to do to get those two free Packer tickets through Window Select is have them out to your home for a free home estimate. That's right. You don't even have to buy anything. Just have Window Select out to your home for a free estimate. You get two free Packers tickets. There is a limited supply, so it's a first-come, first-serve offer. But Window Select's still offering everything else that they typically do. Buy one window, get one free with no limit. No payments for an entire year. And that free home estimate comes with two free Packers tickets. Window Select, a local Wisconsin company, and is a proud partner of the Green Bay Packers. Mention you heard the two free tickets. About the two free tickets right here on ESPN Milwaukee with me when you call them to schedule that free home estimate. 262-703-3500 for Window Select. Buy one window, get one free. No payments for a year, plus two free Packers tickets with any free home estimate. Head on over to windowselect.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You know, we didn't do the thing where you put all the appliances on a board and say, you got $15, build your team.
We're going to create one of those graphics like you see on Instagram and Twitter. It's like, hey, there's four rows. You get $5 to spend on this. And the $1 row is just like a dustbuster.
And a poster.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Gabe and Chewy, we were talking about our bar stories in honor of Eli Manning's wingman not joining him at the Mississippi bar that was owned by Brett Favre's uncle. If your brain is having a tough time following that, I totally understand. But we were talking about our bar stories. Get us your sneaking into a bar story, 800-990-3776. Speaking of quarterbacks, one of the stats last night after the game was that Aaron Rodgers is now 10th on the all-time passing leaders list. He is chasing, obviously, nine other guys: Matt Ryan, Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Dan Marino, Philip Rivers, Brett Favre, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and Drew Brees. So he is one of four guys on that list, gentlemen, who is still active. So he's got 51,633 passing yards in the NFL. Will he catch Matt Ryan, who is still active, by the way, at 56,231? There's about a 4,500 yard difference there, but Matt Ryan's going to still climb the list. Like, I guess my question is, by the end of Rodgers' career, whether that's in Green Bay or elsewhere, how many more yards do you think he adds? Like, are you of the belief that he will play this year and be done? So maybe you could go 5K and add that and tack it onto the list. But again, Matt Ryan, who he's chasing, is still active as well, so his number will continue to go up. Or do you think he'll play like two or three more seasons and we could be seeing, you know, a 15K tacked on to Aaron Rodgers' total? Like, what are your thoughts about the future of Aaron Rodgers and where he could end up on this passing list?
Well, I think the question is, how much longer is Matt Ryan going to be a starter? Like, will he be a starter in this league as long as Aaron plays until he retires? If that's the case, no, he's never going to catch him, right?
Right.
So, I mean, Ryan's still pretty good, right? I mean, he's a top 15 quarterback
in the league.
Yeah, I would say Matt Ryan's top half. Is he top half?
I think he's probably right around that space there.
So he's got what, three more years as a starter, you think, or is that pushing it?
Matt Ryan?
Yeah.
Well, I think they would have moved on from him this year if they could have.
Well, I think this will be his last year in Atlanta. It's just a question of where does he go from there, right? I mean, he's still pretty good. He's not great.
It's
just 4,500 yards is a season, right?
Yeah, I mean, but again, you got to factor in the extra game now.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. So it's not unrealistic. Let's see, if Matt Ryan didn't play another snap in the league, I think Rodgers could catch him this year. He's chasing 4,598. That's how many yards behind him he is, okay? With 15 games remaining, Rodgers would have to average about 300 passing yards per game, which is totally doable, isn't it?
With this defense,
what I was going to say. Thank you, Chewy. Under normal circumstances, I would say 300 passing yards per game for Aaron Rodgers, that's a piece of cake, but he's got to be on the field.
Is he the best on that list? I mean, if we look back, let's say he retires 2 years, is he better than Brett? I know the numbers, touchdown to interceptions would heavily lean yes, but is he a better football player?
Yeah.
He is.
Mm-hmm. Favre's more entertaining, though.
Okay.
Can I be honest with you guys? I was shocked to see Eli Manning at number 8 on this list with 57,000 yards. Like, I don't know why, but in my mind, the narrative is that he was more of a game manager than anything else. And Rodgers has been this, like, you know, throw downfield, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown guy racking up the yards. I was surprised that Rodgers was still chasing Eli. Is that wrong? Explain to me why that thinking is wrong.
Because Eli played for a long time, and Eli has still played with, so Rodgers played 199 career games. Eli played 236.
236 games?
Yeah.
So two more seasons, essentially.
At the end of the day,
yeah, I mean, Eli, because Eli, he was the one that was chasing for the long time. He was the Iron Man after Brett went down. He was the one who started so many games consecutively and never had to deal with those injuries. So whereas, you know, Rodgers has had a couple of seasons where he has missed time, Eli never had that, and he was a starter from, you know, almost day one. He started 7 games his rookie year, and then pretty much started all the way until 2017.
Yeah, I want to see.
Could Rodgers catch Marino, guys? Marino is sitting 10, 9, 8, 7, 6th on this list with 61,361. That means he's chasing 9,728, okay? He would need 9,728 yards from today to catch Marino. Again, that seems like it could just be 2 good seasons.
2 years, yeah.
I mean, I think he plays for at least 3 more years, so I think he catches him.
I agree.
But
who's number one, Jen?
Drew Brees at 80,000 yards.
He'll never
Brady's going to catch him this year. In fact, he could catch him within the next couple of weeks, guys. Yeah. He's only 499 yards behind him.
Could happen next week.
But once again,
he has a 500-yard game.
Yeah, Brady's been slinging the pill.
Once again, though, from a quarterback standpoint, I'm not putting Brady at number one. I mean, in my list,
yep.
The best to ever play.
Who is your 4. Best to ever play? Okay.
No, I'm lying.
You got your
no,
guy.
I'm not.
He's got his guy.
Me and Ashley love 4.
I love 4. I don't think Rodgers catches 4, though. He's 20,000 yards back.
Yeah, that he's not going to catch 4.
I mean, that'd be 5 more years of 5,000, right? 4 more years of 5,000-yard ball or 5 more years of 4,000-yard ball. All right, we asked you guys for your bar stories. Chad in Oconomowoc, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You got a bar story, huh, Chad?
I do, but it's not about sneaking somebody in. It's about getting somebody in. So back in the 90s, there was a guy outside the bar that forgot his ID, and they would not let him in the bar. Well, I knew the bar owner, so I went to go get the owner. That customer was Mark Chmura.
What?
They would not let him in the bar. This was in Madison.
Oh, that's probably true.
It was at Bullwinkle's. I don't know if you ever remember that bar.
Oh, God. Did you get me in?
I got you in.
You're my guy.
You were going to give me free drinks all night, and about 10 minutes later, you left. But you did,
that's so on brand.
Did Franco win without me and said, out of hell with Shamar?
You did give me, my mom was the biggest Packer fan, and you wrote on a napkin 2 Melody from Mark Shamar 89. So,
oh, there you
I
go.
Do have, so, yeah.
Ew. What a good story.
Wait,
Chad,
wait,
you are
don't
absolutely...
even say it, Gabe. I know where you're going. Gabe's like, he actually needed an ID to get in the place? Yeah, it was the long snapper.
I was going to say this was in Madison, so I thought this could have been the same night you stood up Cindy Crawford.
No, I think when I stood up Cindy Crawford, I didn't need an ID to get into places.
Where's the I'm kind of a big deal drop now, Ashton?
Only for you, sorry.
All right, we'll wrap up the show with our guy Mark Tauscher right after this.
Chewy, now you would not need an ID, however, if you wanted to get Gina Della into a bar, because everybody knows Gina Della.
Of course they do. She is one of the original Musketeers and the one that runs Pella Windows and Doors. And Packer fans want this season a win, and they got one last night. Well, as a proud window partner of Titletown, Pella of Wisconsin can make it so you can window this season, too. While competitors are saying wait till next year to replace your old windows and doors, you can upgrade to Pella with installation in as little as 8 weeks. Plus, the 555 is back. Get up to 5 years no interest, 5 months no first payment, and up to 5% same-day order savings, too. Set your free consultation today at PellaWI.com. Certain restrictions apply. See showroom for details.
It's time to get the scoop from one of sports radio's brightest minds.
Offensive linemen are athletes, but I'm talking like outside of football, from a chubby standpoint, who's the GOAT?
A Super Bowl champion and Packers Hall of Famer.
I don't think you can say that things stay fresh for 3 months, but there's a reason people started getting refrigerators.
It's Mark Tauscher on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Oh, I don't want to even get in the playoffs. I'm just going to get beat. What? Win the games you're supposed to win, and then let's get in the playoffs and let's play better. How about that?
Sponsored by DeWitt Law Firm, one of the largest firms in Wisconsin. DeWitt Law Firm has nearly 140 attorneys providing legal assistance to businesses, individuals, nonprofits, and more.
Great to have Mark Tauscher joining the program after a Packers game. And this, of course, a Packers win 35-17 over the Lions. But there is a portion of the population out there, Tausch, who says, didn't really learn anything about this team. Jay Williams said it on Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max. Chewy said it last week. He's going to need to see this Packers team go up against the 49ers. What say you? Have you learned anything about this Packers team, or do you need to see them go up against a tough opponent like the 49ers next week? This week, good grief.
I mean, I think we learned offensively that this is going to be a good football team. Last week, obviously, we all thought it was going to be an aberration. Nobody was concerned about Aaron Rodgers. But I do think we learned some things defensively last night, and I don't know if we liked what we saw, especially in the first half. So, you know, I think, obviously, you're tested against good teams. Beating Detroit was, you know, expected. I think everybody anticipated what was going to happen, and they did play a lot better in the second half, but the tougher tests are coming. I wonder about this defense, because with Za'Darius Smith being out, pass rush has not been very good all season. That needs to improve. The run defense, there's still a ton of question marks, but you never, ever have to apologize for winning in this league. They did what they were supposed to do, and now on to the next test. Had they lost, we would all be in panic mode, and I think Green Bay took that off the table by playing well in the second half.
Tausch, how do you think the O-line did, especially with the three youngsters in the middle there?
I thought the protection was pretty good. I know that Aaron took a couple of sacks. I still, you know, for as great a job as Aaron Jones did last night getting in the end zone, I didn't think the run game, I was expecting more. I really felt like Matt LaFleur didn't call a great game down in Jacksonville. I think he tried to stick with the run. He was doing some more stuff. It's still a work in progress. You know, obviously, Lucas Patrick didn't play, but I do think that you're getting more and more comfortable. Myers, I think, is going to be a really good player, and I think they really are high on Royce Newman. The good thing is you're going to build into this, and when David Bakhtiari's back, I think this will be a really good unit when you can put Elgton Jenkins back at left guard. But I think all in all last night, I would have liked to have seen more efficiency running the football. But all in all, I thought the protection and the offense obviously was very efficient.
Mark Tauscher joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It is a Victory Monday brought to you by Z-Bart of Greater Milwaukee. Winter, a tough opponent for your car. Score a victory with Z-Bart Rust Protection. Keeps your vehicle rust-free for as long as you own it. Visit ZBart.com. Also brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer. And Victory Monday also brought to you by Metropolitan Urology. No need to wait. Go to Metropolitan Urology now to solve your men's health problems. Real doctors, real solutions. That's GoUrology.com. Tausha, after
Dang,
the game...
Gabe. Gabe, you're good, man. That is knocking out three reads. Either your clock management today was as good as Mike McCarthy's on Sunday, or you're just really good.
But 6 in 1 hand, half dozen the other.
Okay.
Matt LaFleur, after the game yesterday, said that he went to Joe Barry at halftime, and he said, hey, we got to figure this out. We got to cover. We got to blitz. We can't do, you know, we're not getting any pressure. If you were LaFleur, would you have said that publicly, that you had to have that conversation with your defensive coordinator at halftime?
No, I don't think so. I don't think you can come away last night, even the most ardent Packer fans, and say you feel great about this defense. Yes, you know, Goff put the ball on the ground. He threw the pick. You never felt, after they scored that first touchdown, you're kind of like, uh-oh. And then they moved the ball. Other than the penalties, they had a bunch of penalties on that one drive where they had a punt. Green Bay had no answers. And Detroit is not Kansas City or Tampa Bay. So the concern level's high. I think, obviously, Joe Barry, that hiring was criticized when it happened because of his track record. To me, this all comes back to pass rush and the fact that Green Bay, Rashawn Gary did have some nice ones. Preston Smith had a few. But the consistency has not been there. And if you're going to play coverage, you better make sure you're getting home. And I think Matt LaFleur wants to be more aggressive. They're still trying to figure it out. It's only 2 weeks in. But I think the two-week sample size, I'm guessing Matt LaFleur isn't thrilled with what Joe Barry has done so far. And that's why he made that public declaration.
Mark Tauscher joining Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as he does every single week after a Packers game. We were talking about the Aaron Rodgers comments last night because, I mean, I've been watching Get Up here in my hotel room, and it's something that people are talking about. Obviously, he talked about how there was a national conversation about him not caring. He talked about getting the trolls off the team's back. And Tausch, listen, I said, you don't have to do that. Let your play speak for you. You don't have to respond to every criticism. His job is to play. What was your reaction to Rodgers feeling the need to make those comments last night?
Yeah, it was a little bit odd, I thought, because he's always said he doesn't listen to this, he doesn't watch this. Well, obviously, you know, he hears these things, and players will always tell you, and Chewy, well, I don't know. But you have friends that will tell you, even if you're trying to avoid it, the noise comes. I think he just doesn't give a blank about the criticism. He wants to shut people up. He does care, though. He obviously cares what these people are saying, and he wants to shut everybody up. And I thought last night he did that. But it is surprising that somebody that is as accomplished and decorated as Aaron Rodgers lets that stuff bother him. But Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame speech, great players, they use everything at their disposal to not only motivate themselves but also their teammates. And I think he loves the fact when guys are, when, you know, the media and I guess the trolls, as he put it, bash him, I think he utilizes that. And I do think it hurt him with, you know, some of the folks kind of asking if he cared and if he was all in. That, I think, really bothers him, and I think he wants to shut that down as soon as he can.
You can hear much more great stuff from Mark Tauscher right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy every single day on Wilde and Tausch. Tausch, great to have you on the show. Have a great show today. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
He's like, that was quick. That was so fast. But the good news is he's got a long show. He can get all of his Packers takes in right now on ESPN Wisconsin. All right, the good news is, guys, after I finish my job here in Fayetteville, I will be back in studio with y'all tomorrow. I know. You can't wait.
Crickets.
Sweet.